Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish things for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Mr. Tim Keck. And today, we are very excited. We're going to be talking about The Menu, the new dinner thriller? Mystery? Murder mystery, maybe? Movie? And we had to bring in a good friend of ours. He's never been on the show before, which is a betrayal of how close he is to both of us and what he means in both of our lives. Please welcome our pal, David Raffalides.
Hey, everybody. It's David.
Wow. I can't believe you've never been on the pod, Dave. That's a massive oversight of ours. I would have said, if somebody had asked me, I would have said he must have been.
You would have thought. But, you know, I'm pretty bad at podcasts, so I think that there's a reason that I was not invited, and I'm going to plan on proving the doubters correct today.
Yes. A tight end in our hearts and in the film industry, David Raffalides.
Nothing like a guest with an agenda.
Yes.
And you know, another word for an agenda is a menu. That's something that people
that's not true at all.
Have said. It's what is an agenda but a menu for your day? Guys, what'd you think about this one? This is written by Will Tracy and Seth Reese, two people from Secession, and just generally the comedy world. This is super, super funny. Did it hit what you wanted?
Okay, I'll go. Dave?
I was purposely waiting for Tim to go.
Dave, I loved this movie. I'll be honest. I thought it was great. Kevin texted me before and he was like, you know, it peters off a little bit. And I totally understand how somebody could watch this movie and think it peters off. But the chef character I was so confused by what his motives were and like what he really wanted out of this that I was with it the whole time. I was in it. I was here for it. I was pointing at the ceiling. I was thanking God. I was begging for that guy in the back who was snoring the whole time the movie was going to shut the fuck up. He must have looked scary or something because nobody woke him up. But I don't share his sentiments. I thought this was a very good movie. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. Dave, what'd you think of The Menu?
No, I think you nailed it. I had a lot of fun, and it's very clear why the chef does it. His mom drinks too much.
It's always the parents.
I think that was the only explanation we got. I thought it was pretty fun. There were moments where I was confused and not in like a, oh, this is exciting. What's going to happen? Way more in a, I wonder what that was about. Way, but I had a good time. I thought it was clever and I thought it was like well made. I at no point was I like, this is bullshit. So I was pretty happy with it.
You didn't walk out of this one.
I want to say, have you walked out of a movie before?
Yeah. Emily and I walked out of The French Dispatch on my birthday. And it had less to do with the movie itself, although it's not his most fun movie for sure. But we looked at the clock and there was at least 45 minutes left in the movie. And we determined that 45 minutes is might be better spent sleeping. So we headed on.
you made the same choice. Yeah, you made the same choice as the guy did in my theater. He didn't even leave, though. He just stayed. You can sleep. You don't have to leave the theater. You can just take a nap, let loose. You don't even need to take your you don't even need to hook up to what's that machine that guy, the sleep app,
CPAP machine,
the CPAP machine that guy clearly needed. He was struggling. You don't even need any of that stuff. You can just snore away. Kevin, what'd you think of The Menu?
I liked it more than I didn't. Like, I feel like the text made it seem like I didn't like it very much. I did really enjoy this movie. I thought it was a great time. I do think, I feel like this is my criticism for every single movie we talk about in this podcast. I'm like, this thing could be 20 minutes shorter, minimum. Like, there's a little bit of fat to trim. It started to peter out for me right around the point where what was Nicholas Holt's character's name? It wasn't
Who cares?
Jeremy,
it's
was
Nicholas
it?
Holt.
It was, it's Nicholas.
Tyler was his name.
Tyler, that's right. They were doing the thing where it was a really funny bit where for each course, they were showing the title of the course and then a breakdown of the ingredients of it, which I thought was a wonderful way to kind of break it up into different segments. And we've tried to talk about this with comedy before. There's a certain amount of like, God, this is going to sound horrible. I don't want to accuse two succession guys of being classless. There's a certain amount of like dignity that certain jokes or riffs or bits maintain if they don't dip into certain easy jokes to make. Like Going Blue is something that can like rob the integrity of a bit you have going for you. And it felt like that first one where they said Tyler's bullshit was like, okay, well, now we've kind of violated the sanctity of these title cards. Like, this is entirely personal preference.
That's really funny because it's coming off of one of my favorite parts of the whole movie, which is watching Tyler have to make food.
Yes.
And just the running commentary of, oh, he's adding a lot of garlic. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm just chucking it right in the pan there.
Yeah. So you are correct in saying that I am Tyler in this situation, just sitting back and being like, yeah, you know what that machine does? Meanwhile, I'm not the one writing this movie. But I do think it was the first one where I'm like, man, I feel like if you just title it like a burger, we can see if you show us this really shitty burger that Tyler made.
It did feel like maybe unnecessary commentary. I get what you're saying. I liked it, though. I laughed at all the title cards. I thought all the title cards were great every time, especially because they always caught me off guard. I feel like it was like always something intense is happening. And then they cut to a title card and it's like a little like breath, you know, it's like a little like release of tension.
I think that's the thing is that to me, the title cards were a return to the base reality. And that was the first one where it's like, oh, you sold the title card out to be a joke. Like that should have been like the refrain. And instead it was another indulgence in the joke. And I personally didn't care for that one. But you know what? That's me. I'm Tyler.
I love that the whole movie's ruined by the menu title card joke for Kevin. It's just like, oh, you did it. You went too far.
Speaking of Tyler, in general, I find Nicholas Deep Sigh Holt to just be like such a boring human being. I feel like I feel like you'd talk to him. If you saw him at a party and you start talking to him like a minute in, you'd be like, okay, well, I gotta go. I'm just like, this guy fucking sucks. And to see him play a character that sucks and ultimately gets his comeuppance was so satisfying. It felt like perfect casting to me. The way he was talking about all these dishes and the whole foodie energy was incredible. And I agree, Dave, that him cooking was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It's such a perfect critique of critics where it's like, oh yeah, just try doing any of this. And you know, it's like, if you can't do teach, you know, like if you can't cook, then criticize people cooking. If you can't make movies. Yeah. And teach. No, I don't know. They're both very sweet people.
What does he say to Tyler? He says, like, you're everything that's wrong with art or something like that.
Oh, is that what he whispered to him?
Yeah, it's like, it's just a fantastic line. It was unbelievable. I wish I would have jotted it down in the notebooks that they gave us at the screening.
Did he actually say something? I feel like I missed it or I didn't hear it. I was like, after the show, I was like, what the fuck did he say to him that made him want to hang himself? Spoiler alert.
He says something to the effect of, you're like the epitome of what destroys art, or it's something to that effect of like, your outlook on art is like everything that's wrong with art. And it's it was a really great line. I wish I knew it exactly what it was. But yeah, I thought that was fantastic.
God. I saw the twist, I guess a twist of like Anna Taylor-Joy being, I guess, like a prostitute instantly. Were you guys on the same page? The way her and Nicholas Holt interact is so uncomfortable and weird. And like, she is clearly trying to like keep the momentum going while he is like a despicable human being. I was like, oh, okay, I know what this is right away. It was so awkward. Just like the level of like physical contact they had was so artificial. It was brilliant. I thought it was so good, to be honest. Anna Taylor-Joy is crushing it in this.
I wish I would have made that connection sooner than the like quote unquote reveal. Cause I thought it was just kind of a new date that was like that they weren't hitting it off. But it made me wonder like what I was like, man, these two, like, why would they go on this date? They don't like each other at all. Like it didn't, they had no connection at all. So I was confused. I should have pieced together that she was an escort. Sooner.
She was toughing it out pretty hard. He says a bunch of things that are just like so off-putting immediately that she just like responds to with like, aw, and like head on his shoulder. It's like, it's very funny how weird he is.
It was great to see her when they were on the boat on the way to the island. And he's arguing that this like oyster that they were handed, that's the precursor to the entire meal, is the most fantastic example of an oyster he's ever had. And she's like, yeah, I don't know, just kind of like normal oysters. Just how fixated he was into like, no, this is the best oyster. And I mean, knowing the rest of the movie, it's like, yeah, this dude needs to convince himself that the last oyster he will ever have is the best oyster he's ever had.
I'd like when she's like, I'd like it without the foam. He's like, no, you need the foam. Like, yeah. This guy fucking sucks. This guy is awful. Why do you think he wanted to go knowing he would die? What is it about him that he knew he was going to die, right? Isn't that the point? And then he brings her and he knows she's going to die.
The chef says, you knew everyone was going to die and you still brought her. Like, why? I was a little confused on, like, did he believe that he was going to die, or did he think it, like, because you know they play with it being like a show and it's food and art and performance art, but I think we were meant to believe that he fully knew this was his last meal, mm-hmm. and he still brought a stranger to get killed, because he left and then he left his other date, whether he broke up with her or not, at home.
He definitely got dumped.
Which definitely goes to show how awkward it is to eat somewhere completely alone. This man was willing to show up with someone that would get killed just because otherwise it's like, what do I do? Do I pull out a Kindle at the table? It's a situation. There was like a wine bar around the corner from me in Astoria that I used to love going to. And it's like, all right, this is going to be me and a bunch of people on dates.
The way it should be. I want to know what his like date did to piss off the chef, because he clearly knew she was coming. He was prepared for it. She must be equally shitty on some level, right?
Yeah, she's like Steve Bannon's daughter.
did they send out invites though?
Well, he like curated the guests, right? Like he had a vendetta against everybody there for one reason or another.
Yeah,
right?
I kind of got the sense that he would have had a vendetta against anybody that came, but it did seem
maybe that's it
specific. But they never mentioned that they were invited, did they?
No, they had to RSVP. They had to go through like a process. I mean, they knew everything about the people when they showed up. So he definitely knew who was coming and like anticipated that. But I do think that's a good point, though, is he just seemed to have general resentment for anyone that he would serve. He's like, anyone, like I'm anyone who would eat the food that I'm making is a piece of shit. It's just an incredible place to be, you know?
I mean, I think that's absolutely. That one couple that was there, their whole quote unquote sin was just that they'd eaten there a lot of times when this is a restaurant that's at a price point where it's supposed to be a very special occasion, right? So like, I think that's the thing. He's the epitome of that artist who has gotten to a point where, I don't know, the people that are able to pay for their art are totally insufferable.
It's amazing. My favorite part was when he said, when that girl's like, why am I here? And he's like, you went to Brown, right? You don't have any student debt. You deserve to die. It's like, all right, this is a great movie. I was all in.
Our row was all state school kids, and our row and only our row laughed very hard at that line. I assume we were surrounded by some non-state school folk.
It was also, I think I might have mentioned this to you, Tim. Somebody came by at one point and checked. This was just a screening that we bought tickets for, so it wasn't like it was an exclusive thing. Somebody came by at one point and checked with Dave and was like, were you one of the influencers that got the free tickets? which means that, like, theoretically, a lot of the people in that room were influencers who got free tickets, which made it a lot more interesting anytime anybody wasn't laughing at the class jokes, because we laughed at all of them. But, like,
wow,
it was a pretty quiet theater in that regard.
What do you think?
She came in towards the end, too. And I was like, is this a trick? Like, if I say I'm an Instagram influencer, do I get killed?
This is the ultimate 40X movie experience.
Sign me up.
So this, do you guys think this movie is like just blatantly like influencers are trash? Or like critics are trash? You know, this woman like reviewed his restaurant and she like made him a star. Like she built his popularity, but then also shut down a bunch. I think a lot of the people working in the kitchen were people from the restaurant she shut down, right?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because there's the woman who comes and sits at their table when like all the women are hanging out eating, and the critic gives her a compliment and she says at one point that would have meant a lot to me, which made me think like there's all these people who lost their livelihoods. They're suicidal. They invest in this guy. I don't know. Maybe I'm connecting too many dots, but I don't know. It seems like he generally just hates critics all the time, but there is like some good in criticism, you know, like how many people listening to our podcast are now going to go watch The Menu? We're pushing countless numbers of audience towards this movie. Tons of views on this little project someone did. You know, we're clearly improving on it. So do you think it's all just like, yeah. What do you think the viewpoint on this is like, as far as like the thesis statement of the movie?
I think Kevin nailed it. It's like you're making art, you become obsessed with it, and then it reaches the point where you're so successful that the only people consuming it are like the worst type of people. I don't think he's commenting on really like influencers or anything like that. I think the chef is obsessed with his art and is pushing it further and further. And then is commenting on, yeah, just how insufferable, like expensive art can be.
Yeah. I think one of the things that kind of kept me hanging on in the movie was I kind of expected the chef character to be like perfect in a way. Like when she isn't on the list and she shows up, part of me is like, oh, he planned that she would be here, right? Like some part of me wanted to believe that he ultimately had a bigger plan and like a bigger strategy. But it also seems like kind of during the movie, he's just like a flawed guy who's like kind of fucked up and is doing this insane thing. But some part of me really wanted him to be like this like beautiful genius who's like misunderstood in his time and like really standing for the art. But it's also like he's just an artist who's like also full of his own shit, you know, like. This is insane. He's a crazy person. He's like way too into his own stuff.
Yeah. They also suggest that he's been running this restaurant successfully for a while before he like loses his grip and does this. So I think it's just like a breaking point kind of thing. I'm not totally sure. I think like, obviously like I believe cooking is art and we've made it to the point where it's like, so highfalutin, so ridiculous. It's like a thing that people are literally starving that need to stay alive. And they're, you know, downing $1,200 oysters I'm trying to think of some of the other dishes, but like, it's just gross how indulgent it is.
Yeah. The bread, like the dipping sauce without bread, whatever plate. And that's the critic is like,
amazing.
This is beautiful. She's like, oh, and she starts laughing and she's like, this is all about me. I was like, that's so funny. The critic is like, they built this whole thing for us. You know, this bread, oh, this critique of this. And then the sauce is broken. It was like the whole bit where he keeps bringing her bigger bowls of the broken sauce is so goddamn funny.
I think that is I was trying to get behind Kevin's point earlier, but I think that might be my biggest critique, is that like some of the jokes absolutely crush and you like want them all to nail that. Like that joke, the bread sequence is so funny. The cooking, him forcing him to cook in the kitchen, so funny. And it like at some moments it dips in and out of like that level of success, which is like the worst critique in the world. It's like, be funny constantly and only get funnier throughout, which is like impossible to say. But I do think when you get those moments, like the bread moment, where you're like, this is going to be a wild ride and it's going to be so fun, that if it doesn't reach that level or exceed that level, you start to think, oh, it's like we're missing points here. But I don't know. I think it pretty much delivered. Can I ask a question about a part that was genuinely very, very confusing to me?
Yes.
And I think I might be a dumb man. So they go outside for that course where he has all the men, run, and they go and find them. So he starts it out by being like, all the guys, you can run now. You have to leave the women behind. And if you escape, you escape. But it's like, it's obvious they're not going to. And before he can even say go, like someone takes off to try and escape. And then Tyler waits back, which I thought was like, Tyler just wants to hang out with the chef because he's so obsessed with him.
Yes.
But well, like it also felt like the only guy who's not abandoning the girl he brought with him to the dinner. So I was like, oh, that's nice. And then they force him to go. Did anyone else? I was like, oh, okay. But then did anyone else think they were just going to like murder those guys when they were out? Did they just caught them and brought them back? I was so confused by that portion of it. Did I miss something?
The scene where he hands him the bird, or like the egg dish, like you're the last one, and he hands him the thing while he's hiding in the hen house. Hilarious. So good. So good. Sorry. What were you going to say, Kev?
Well, I was just going to say, hey, Lauren and I talked about that a lot because that didn't hit all the way for me. That was another one of those same ones where it's like, I don't know. I think the thing is that it's not that it's a bad movie. It just feels like it's from a different movie. Like it just feels like it's from a tonally different draft of this. And so that was something where Lauren interpreted that as being like a show of force. So basically like them saying, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter how hard you try to hide. We are going to be able to take you down no matter what. But for me, and maybe again, this is me being a dumb man, but I would have liked a more direct show of force in that way, especially given the people that are in that room and the way that people of similar ilk have reacted in situations that I've seen. So like that table of the like finance bros, that I'm just going to assume they're crypto bros in the corner. The fact that they don't try to like physically fight someone, it's a weird thing where it's like they have these characters in so tight, like they have these people locked in and their personalities locked in so tightly that not seeing something more, I guess, like stereotypical, but I think realistic, kind of shakes that base reality for me where it's like, I feel like these guys would absolutely like do the thing where they said, what if we just rush with a knife? Like, show me one of those guys trying that and getting absolutely annihilated. And that's all I need. I just need maybe one more like violent show of force that I think would quiet down the more rambunctious people that are in that group.
See, that part I didn't really understand because he does say something like, you guys didn't even try to leave. And like, I didn't really understand that part. I didn't really understand why they had all kind of like accepted their fate. And maybe it's just something how they're all shitty and they're all, you know, too weak to fight for themselves or something.
I loved that part.
I loved it, but I didn't really understand. I didn't really understand why they didn't try. Like, are they just so broken by the experience that Anya Taylor-Joy, I have such a hard time with her name, Anya's character, like, fought and got out and they all just stood and watched and the woman's like, go. And why didn't they do anything? They didn't even, it felt like they didn't even try at all. They were all just like ready to die.
I think it was, you guys are so pathetic. Like you've become, you know, fat on your abundance. Kevin, to your point of like tonally different, and I'm like, if I'm really nitpicking, the three finance tech bros, I thought were like pitch perfect in the movie. Like they were delivering the level of like satire where they felt like real people that I have seen before, but are really funny and complete assholes. And then Tyler hit notes of a little like ridiculous to me, like to a point where I'd be like, would this guy actually say that? But I also had to spend almost, I don't think I've ever met a person like Tyler that like loves food that much. So maybe it was pitch perfect for him too. But there were moments with him where I was kind of like, I can't believe this girl is still like talking to him. I can't believe like he didn't seem quite like a real person. I don't know if either of you felt the same way.
Oh, definitely.
There's a satire, right?
I mean, and maybe that's it. There's a Hannibal Buress thing where he talks about certain things like working, but they feel a little too writery. Like it definitely feels a little too writery. And some of the moments when the guy got his finger chopped off and Nicholas Holt still isn't reacting, he's just like, oh man, this dish is like really terrific. Just feels a little too writery. And it's specifically because they did such a great job with the base reality and the rest of it that stands out. If the whole movie tonally was a little goofier like that, then I think it works. But it's like, there's a little bit of a clash there for me. The flavors clash.
The flavors clash. See, I liked it. I thought the whole movie was kind of like, you know, it like built tension, then it released it, then it built tension again, then it released it. It felt like a satire. I mean, it definitely like, I thought the cue cards, now it's like satire. He's clearly set. Like it felt like, yeah, just like a whole thing was like a critique. The whole thing felt like an art piece or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I will couch mine in that. It's a very, very nitpicky comment, but I do think that if you sat down with the table of tech bros and you sat down with Tyler, like you would feel it's slightly more realistic over with the finance bros than it is with Tyler. But like Tyler was very funny, and it also, the more ridiculous he was, the more fun it was. What was her name? Aaron? Aaron.
I don't remember. The finance bros and the men like running away. It felt the chef like harassed one of his female workers for like 8 months, right? Is that what they said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was some like gendered thing with like making the guys run and then the girls like hang out and like eat the next course that I didn't understand really what the message was. Like, this guy is like an abuser. He's saying he's an abuser. So is this like some, I don't know, him turning over a new leaf, like he's abusing the guys, he's like treating the women right, trying to get some redemption, or like, I don't know.
That was what confused me about it was, it really felt like the setup was, hey guys, you have a chance to save yourself, but to do it, you have to leave the women in your life behind, and then everyone splits. So it's like, to me, the outcome of that event, like we should have just seen like people just getting slashed, like, yeah. going, and then you can do the egg bit, like, hey, you were the last person, here's your egg, and then he still dies. But then we would come back to the restaurant with just the women left. But I don't know, that to me it felt like a really big event. We're getting outside, we're sending everyone off, and then we just brought everyone back in.
I felt like they needed it for the trailer.
You need people moving.
I felt like they needed like a scene where everybody's running. Like the trailer made it look like way more violent and like action packed than it was. Just a little glimpse I caught. And people running is a great way to sell a movie, I think.
I didn't look at the like when it was made, but it is a COVID movie. We're all in one room. It's, you know, it's something that's easier to produce in COVID times. We only have to, this cast is like, with these people, we can coordinate. We're on an island. We can literally separate people if we need to. But it might not be true. It may have been done after it or before.
My other question at the end of the movie, do you think the burger was poisoned in some way? Do you think her character is alive? Do you think she died on the boat? What do you think that was part of the plan? Do you think this was also master plan? She's on that boat and he knew she would eat the burger because it was so good that she would have no choice but to eat it. And so he poisoned it so that they would all die that night together.
I think the burger was made with the meat. What'd you say?
No, you go.
Yeah.
I got AirPods, so I got a little delay. I think the burger was made with the meat from that smokehouse that they mentioned at the beginning, because there's that slight moment where you see Anya Taylor-Joy kind of like wobble, her eyes kind of lose focus for a second. I think she's toast. I don't think anybody got out alive.
Dave?
I missed that completely, but I think you're right. Yeah. Cause I was, when you're still like getting your bearings on the movie, the person showing them around is like, what happens if you age it for one more day? And she's like, a bacteria grows and everyone dies.
Right.
What did she say that the bacteria grow? Did she say that you lose your mind or anything like that?
I don't think she said you lose your mind. I think she said that you lose control of your muscles.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a horrible death.
I thought maybe the chef and the kitchen all ate the beef or something, and that's why they were kind of going crazy. But man, I'm reaching now.
This is a horror movie about food safety. Oh my god, that was like that moment that was great, because that was a wonderful red herring. When I saw that, not knowing what we were getting into with the movie, I was like, oh, okay, so this is going to be. Number one, we're going to see a body hanging in this. Maybe it's a cannibal movie, or worst case scenario, somebody like gets killed slasher movie style and then hung up in there and someone finds the body. And I was so happy for all the gripes that I had about this movie that that's not what this movie was. I feel like the equivalent of it for me for horror movies, I love a monster. If a movie seems like it's going to have a movie monster and there's no monster and the monster turns out to be that humanity is the biggest monster of all, but it seems like I was promised a monster, I'm going to be super upset. So like that happens a lot in these like Scandinavian A24 horror movies. And it's always one of those things where it's like, they always go these really predictable routes with it. And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, it's going to be a pretty typical, like Trapped on an Island slasher, or like that movie Ready or Not, like running through the woods, kind of like a weird, Most Dangerous Game slasher. So I was super, super happy they didn't go that direction. And again, I feel like it sounds like I didn't like this movie. I respect the hell out of the fact that they did something so distinct and so cool.
Yeah, I agree. I love this movie. I loved it, Kevin. I'll keep telling you. I loved it.
I don't know that I loved it.
I was really into it. I don't know if I loved it. I was very into it. I was much more into it than I thought I would be. Especially once the tone switched, I thought it was going to be a slasher for sure. I was so excited for it because I thought it was going to be a slasher, and it was not. Also, I did a little Googling beforehand because I was convinced that the burger was poisoned, and I saw something from the director that's like, oh no, she's alive, she's fine. It was like a victory bite. And I was like, fuck you. Why would you say that? The director came out and they were like, wow, there's this beautiful ambiguous ending that they've even like planted seeds. Like people online are like, oh my god, she's dead. And the director's like, nah, it's cool. That's like, it's fine. It's like, screw you. You're everything that's wrong with art. Hang here. No, I'm not going to say. Anyway, let's do some rapid fire thieves and get out of here. Who's got them? Dave, you got your favorite. What's your thief? Who or what stole the show for you in the menu?
I mean, it's not going to surprise anyone, but the sous chef who blows his brains out. every step of the way, I was like, oh yeah, this is it. This is like, sometimes you're like, you get mad when somebody writes something that you like is like right up your wheelhouse, but you've never come close to writing. And you're like, oh, this is just a perfect next step in this movie. I loved it. I thought the actor was wonderful too.
Did you think they were going to eat him?
No, at no point did I think that they were like cannibals or anything like that. I was for most of it. I was kind of like, I was like, I thought that the people were going to hold on to it being a show for almost the entire movie. Like I thought the patrons were going to be like, nope, this guy is brilliant. And it would have kept like, which would have been insane. Like it would have, they already pushed it pretty far, but for some reason I was like, oh, they're going to keep thinking this guy is like the genius of all geniuses, which Tim thinks he is. He thinks he has a master plan for everything. The boat that Aaron gets on sinks halfway through.
Yeah, I want it. I want it bad. Kevin, you got a thief?
Yeah, my thief is the subtext with his motive. The fact that we saw the photos of him getting more and more success throughout his career and getting successively happier, getting successively more depressed. And then we cut to him when he's a burger chef. He's like beaming. I love that we didn't get that scene paired with a cut in of a flashback of him talking earlier and being like, when I was flipping burgers, it's the only time I was really happy, which is, I feel like, what most movies that play on TNT would do with that same situation. Like, they're just going to fucking serve it right up to you.
Like a hot burger.
My beef for the movie is that she got the onions grilled on that burger. I love a raw onion slab on a burger.
Fucking stupid that you would even. The grill never hurt anybody, Kevin. Don't be afraid of it. Let it do its thing. You don't sound like a real foodie to me. It's all raw onions.
Don't kill my
tang,
Tim. I need that tang from that raw onion slice.
Kevin, raw or grilled? Or Dave, raw? Oh. You going raw on these burgers?
Yeah, I'm proving myself to be a terrible podcast host, but you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I think I would choose raw. Would be my first choice, but I wouldn't bat an eye if someone threw grilled onions on my burger.
You uncivilized brutes. My thief after since we mentioned like everybody else, my thief was the food. I actually really liked seeing the food he was making. I thought it was great. Every time it was exciting. I don't know if he like broke the sauce intentionally. That was like another thing. Was it an accident? Did it happen? Did he do it intentionally to troll this woman that because he knew she would get pissed off? Like, she heard these are the only sauce that was broken. These are the things I'm going to be thinking about on rewatch. I love John Leguizamo's character. I love the washed up actor who thinks he's cool. And the relationship he had with the woman working for him, I thought was great. And how they're both like incredibly codependent and like they both know the other person is doing things to them. And that exchange was great. Big fan. All the characters in this were really great, I thought. All the guests.
I would say a beef for me is the older couple, the woman, they gave her like nothing. She just, I think, Kevin, you and Lauren were like, what did she do? She just went to dinner, like, because he was cheating on his wife with the escort, and she just was at dinner.
Didn't she only watch though? I don't think that's cheating. If you pay someone to watch you jerk off, is it cheating? It's up in the air. No one can know.
Yeah.
No, I'm going raw onions on this. Yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah.
Well, agree to disagree. Again, you guys are prudes. Classless prudes.
I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but if somebody sees your dick and it's not your doctor, that's cheating.
What if she's dressed like a doctor?
Somehow worse.
All right, I think that's our time, Kev.
All right, well, hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Nerdy for 30. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
You got anything you want to plug?
No, thanks for having me. Celino V. Barnes was coming back to New York City in April. We're gonna do like a month long run at a theater, at a abandoned office turned into a theater in Chelsea is where we're doing it. It sounds like I'm making it up, but that's 100% what's happening. So we have that. And then I have a short film that's like hopefully making its way around the world, but nobody can see it yet. But one day you'll be able to see it in like 6 years when people come back to listen to the Menu podcast. Then, you know, they'll catch it and then they'll go catch the short film. So those are the two big things.
Exciting stuff.
I love it. Check it out. Go see Celino V. Barnes. If you're listening to this in the year 2028, check out that short film. We're going to be back here next week talking about what next week is.
Glass Onion.
Glass Onion. Yes. Yeah. Another little weird mystery thing. So we'll see you then. Till then, everybody, stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy. Bye. Bye. Thanks, Dave.